It's a great privilege to know that we have a God who cares for us. And so we're going to be looking at that tonight, actually, in the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Psalm 55, please. Psalm 55. It has been a joy to be with you today. I have enjoyed the times of fellowship and just the opportunity to be able to get to know some of you. And it's been good to be able to talk with you between the Sunday school and the morning service, and then after the service during the lunchtime. And we've just enjoyed the opportunity to be able to be here. Trust God will use his word to continue to be a blessing and a help to you as we are here. And I trust that as we have opportunity, God might use us to be a blessing to you as well. Psalm 55 and verse 22 is where we are going to be looking in the Scriptures tonight. Psalm 55 and verse 22. The Scripture reads this way, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I am as busy as a beaver. I've had a lot on my plate, got a lot of irons in the fire. I am swamped. I guess you could say I'm in a little over my head. I'm under a lot of pressure right now. My hands are full, I'm at the end of my rope, and I'm on my last nerve. Have you ever used any of those expressions? Maybe if you haven't used them, perhaps you have heard somebody use them as you've been talking to them. You know, in a day and age in which we live in, with so many available inventions, modern conveniences, and technological advances, you would think that we would be able to make something, some sort of a device that would remove all of the stress, the troubles, the burdens, and make those things something in the past. And yet, surveys, polls, studies, and a lot of research shows that today we are living in one of the most stressed, anxious, and burdened societies of all time. As we have traveled and ministered in churches, I have come to understand this in talking with people that burdens just seem to be a part of life. Whether it's while we're serving at a church or at a Christian camp or doing meetings at a school or just even talking with people in their homes, whether they are teenagers, even younger than that now it seems like, whether they are young adults, middle-aged adults, I don't want to offend anybody in here, so I'll be kind tonight, or if they are more mature adults in years, all of us seem to struggle with burdens. Our society, it is apparent that our society needs some help when it comes to dealing with these stresses, anxieties, and burdens in life. As with any other subject, when you begin to look and see what is going to be helpful in a situation like that, it's important for us to go to the Scriptures for answers. And so tonight we're going to take a look here in Psalm 55 and specifically spend some time taking a look at verse 22 and see if we can glean, if there are some valuable truths that we can learn from this passage of Scripture that'll help us to consider what are we going to do with these burdens in life. And I hope as we look at this tonight, you'll understand that at some point in time, all of us are going to struggle with burdens. And there are going to be times where it seems like we're not struggling with burdens, but there's going to be someone that we rub elbows with, someone that we know, someone that we talk to, someone that we interact with, who's going to be dealing with burdens, and God has put us in their path to be able to share with them some truth from His Word as to how we ought to handle the burdens in life. And so let's tonight take a look at Psalm 55 and verse 22, and I just want to share with you three important truths from this passage of Scripture about burdens that we're going to face in life, and it's important for us to remember these truths because God addresses this subject of burdens and what we ought to do with them. First truth, as I was reading through this passage of Scripture, and I got to verse 22 that I jotted down in my notes was this. The first thing I realized is there is the reality of burdens. Burdens in our life are a reality. Now, I know that burdens, anxieties, fears, sometimes it's not popular to talk about things like that. In fact, as I was going through and studying and preparing for this message, I realized that there are some difficulties with even preaching a message that deals with burdens. Some of the difficulties are this. I realize that speaking on burdens, it's somewhat of a tender subject. And what I mean by that is as we come into a church or as we start talking with individuals, couples, families, they're maybe going through a burden that they are carrying at that point in time, and burdens and speaking on it would be just kind of a tender subject. So to begin to just talk about burdens, it's something that would be sensitive. It's maybe something might even be described as raw. It's an emotional thing because people are going through it. They are facing some sort of a burden, and burdens can be a tender subject to talk about. Maybe, I've also realized this, it's not just a tender subject, but I've also realized that as you talk with people, sharing truth from God's word about burdens is also a triumphal subject. And what I mean by that is this, maybe there's someone in this room tonight who you're on what we might call a spiritual high. Things are going great. You've had a burden in your life. It could be a physical burden, financial burden, some sort of a relationship burden. God has brought you through, and now when you look back on it, you were like, praise the Lord, he got me through that burden. This is a wonderful day. For some, it's not a tender subject. It's not a triumphant subject. For some, as we consider it, I would say this, it's a touchy subject. And what I mean by that is as you consider the idea of burdens, there are some people who say that's just not something that you talk about. It's not that it's touchy. It's not that they're sensitive about it and they're going through a burden right now. It's not that they've come out on the other side. It's just this is a private thing. And when I have a burden, it's not something that I want to share with other people. I mean, when is the last time you walked into a church and you greeted somebody and you said, hey, how you doing? And you shook their hand. And they said, you know, brother, I'm really glad that you asked because right now I'm going through a very difficult time. And since you asked, can I just share with you this burden? I'd like to have you pray with me about it. We don't typically do that in church, do we? You walk into a situation like that, and we seem like we want to put on this persona of like, I don't ever have any troubles. I don't ever have any difficulties in life. I've got it all together. And to kind of bring up the subject of burdens can be kind of touchy. It's just not something that's talked about because we have this image or persona that I've got everything under control. And to admit that I have a burden right now, that there's something that I'm struggling with and I don't really understand what God is doing and why he's allowing it to happen and why God is silent right now, I just don't know what to do. Now, please understand, I'm not saying that you need to walk into church and hang out the dirty laundry and just start, you know, telling everybody everything negative or bad that goes on in your life as well, but there is an appropriate time to be able to share those burdens. And it will not mar your reputation. It should not show some sort of an evidence of spiritual weakness or a kink in your spiritual armor. It's just a reality. All of us face burdens. You know, as you read through the scriptures, we actually find that there are a number of characters who are, we could say, up to their eyeballs in burdens. Do you remember the characters we read through the scripture? His name is Job. Job, in the matter of one day, in a seemingly short amount of time in that one day, his, what I call a burdenometer, okay, we have speedometers, you know, pedometers, all of those things. Job's burdenometer, it went from zero to off the charts. He lost his children, he lost his job, he lost his livelihood, he lost his servants. Job lost even some of his own personal health. There was a lot that was going on, which causes Job then to sit down and to write Job chapter 5 and verse 7 that says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. What's Job saying? Job said, I've just become aware, and it's hit home, the reality of burdens. Later he would write Job 7 verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent, notice this, without hope. Job says the burdens just keep coming and it seems like I'm without hope. If that's not enough, Job writes this, or we see this in the book of Job, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Isn't that helpful and cheery tonight that man's days are full of trouble? But listen, the reality of Scripture and the picture that Scripture gives to us is that burdens are reality. They are part of life. Listen to the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 23 when he says, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. Hey, have you ever had a burden that kept you up in the middle of the night? Did you ever have this burden that as you got ready to lay your head down on your pillow, it just seemed like you couldn't get it off of your mind? And And even if you did fall asleep for just a brief amount of time, or maybe an elongated time when you woke up, that burden was still there. Solomon says, I know what that's like, because burdens are a reality. Consider David. He's the author of this psalm here in Psalm 55, and he's crying out to God. He shares his burdens with God, but he also shares some truths with others. Can I just identify for you some of the troubles that David is struggling with here, some of the burdens that as he sits down and he writes Psalm 55, verse 22, some of the struggles that he's having. Go back to Psalm 55. Let's begin reading at verse 1. In verse 1, he says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. Notice this. He says, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. David just has this restlessness in his soul. He uses the word mourn there, and the idea is that of just restlessness. He can't find comfort. He's looking for rest, and he can't find it. Have you ever been there? God, I'm just looking for a little bit of peace right now. It just seems like everything is attacking me from all sorts of directions. And God, I'm just looking for rest. I'm looking for peace. He uses the term noise there in verse 2, and he'll come back to it here in verse 3. He says, because of the voice of the enemy. His life is full of noise. The word voice there, pictures this disorderly noise. Now, please understand when I use this illustration, hopefully I don't offend anyone, but I am not a big fan of wind chimes. Okay? There are some people who love them, okay? And if you love them, great, okay? But when I think of a wind chime, my mind goes back to someone that I knew when I was growing up, and they had like multiple wind chimes outside of their home. And when there was just this nice little breeze, every now and then it would blow, and the little, thing in the middle, it would move around, and it would hit, and it sounded nice when something like that would take place. But when the wind really began to come, there was just chaotic noise. Like you couldn't sleep, and so if it was at night and they were ringing outside, you weren't able to sleep. It was just chaotic noise. And our lives get full of this noise, this disorderly sound that is taking place in our lives because, as I mentioned this morning, we don't like a quiet culture. We would prefer noise over silence. And yet David says here, he says, the voice, the disorderly noise of my enemies, it's about me. He talks about an oppression there in verse 3, the oppression of the wicked, and the fact that he feels hated by them. Have you ever felt hated by someone? Have you ever felt like someone was attacking you with their looks, with their thoughts, with their words, with their actions? David says, that's the way that I feel right now, that I'm oppressed and I'm hated by these wicked people. He goes on into verse 4 and he says, my heart is sore. My heart is sore. There's this inner anguish and turmoil. Today we might use this phrase that a person is heartbroken. David has actually received some noise. We're going to find out about this, he's received some word, and we're going to find out in detail what that is here, perhaps in just a little bit. But he's saying, I have this inner anguish and this turmoil, and my heart that once was glad, was full of joy and singing, now my heart it's breaking. It's melting within me. So he says his heart is sore. In verse 5, he says he's fearful and trembling, building to the point even where he is horrified. He says there in verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. David says, I'm being overtaken by this. No matter how much I try, I strive not to let it have control. It's taking over my life. Here is what has perhaps caused David to be heartbroken. We're not exactly sure, although in reading this psalm and when it was written, this is perhaps the reason. Go with me, if you would, to verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, he says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine own equal, my guide and my acquaintance. David says he was forsaken by a friend. He says, if there was this enemy, this person who was attacking me, I could deal with that. But now here's this friend, this loved one, This trusted individual who it seems like they've turned their back, they stabbed him in the back, and they've abandoned him. I point these things out because it's important for us to understand David is not writing from the hypothetical here. David is writing from real experiences that happened in his life, and he says, I have come to this conclusion in verse 22, I have burdens. Burdens are real. We see this in the early church for the believers there in the book of Acts as they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were thrown into prison. We know that people were killed. There was a man by the name of Stephen who was oppressed, burdened, stoned by Saul before Saul was converted into Paul. Paul, he was forsaken by friends. He had a heart that was sore and it was heartbroken as he heard news from these individual churches who they had been led astray and led away with false doctrine. His heart was breaking for them. We see Jesus Christ burdened in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see this reality of burdens. And so can I just ask us as we come to this passage of Scripture tonight and we're gathered and we're looking at it, could we just be honest tonight and be willing to admit that whether we have a burden right now that seems heavy and oppressive, whether we're going through some of these things that David is going through and he identifies in his life, could we just be honest tonight and recognize and agree that the reality of life is this, we're going to face burdens. And when those burdens are on our heart and in our life, we need to be willing to admit it. We need to be willing to deal with it. But I would also encourage us to understand not just the reality of burdens, but also the perspective that is given to us here in this passage of Scripture of the reality of burdens. You see, as we draw our attention back to Psalm 55 and verse 2, and we get to that word burden, it comes from a Hebrew word which means, and it gives us the idea of the word gift in it. The first part of the word, Yahab, the first part, Yah, indicates that it is something that is from God. And when you put the two parts of the word together, it means this. It's the idea that David says, you know, as I consider this oppression that I'm going through, this heart sickness, this abandonment, this noise that's in my soul, you know what David says his perspective is? He says it's this, that it was gifted to me by God. What a different perspective of burdens that come into our life. David indicates that his perspective of the burdens that he is facing in life at this point in time is that they were something that were authored by God. The burdens he is facing are gifts that were granted or permitted into his life by the sovereign God. Now please understand, David isn't making God guilty or saying that all trouble comes from God. But David also isn't ignoring the fact that burdens here that he referenced earlier in the text, they're also not out of God's control either. And so David's perspective is this. As he gets to the end of this psalm and he reflects on it, he says, these burdens, they're from God. As an opportunity to depend more on God and less on self. And so can I ask you this question tonight before we move on? What's your perspective of the burdens of life? What has been your perspective on the burdens of life that you've gone through? You know, burdens come in all shapes and sizes. Does your perspective lead to a greater dependence on God? Or do the burdens of life create a greater distance between you and God? Maybe God would use a burden like some sort of pain, rejection, loneliness, suffering in life, turmoil, difficulties. Maybe it would be a physical thing like a disease. Maybe it could be some sort of a financial burden, a physical burden. Regardless of what it is our perspective that this is allowed, is permitted by God, and that God is wanting to use the reality of this burden in my life to draw me closer to Him rather than drive me farther from Him? Here in this psalm, we get to this second to the last verse in Psalm 55, and he says, burdens are a reality. And so he encourages us, challenges us to consider then, what is our perspective of burdens? Do we view it as something that God is allowing, permitting in our lives? And will we let that be something that draws us closer to God? Will we run to God, say, God, I need you in this time? Or do we allow burdens to create distance between us and God? And so first of all, as we come to Psalm 55, verse 22, we see the reality of burdens. And the perspective is that burdens are a part of life, and these burdens ought to be things that draw us closer to God, push us to God, rather than draw or push us away from Him. Burdens were granted, gifted to us by God to draw us closer to Him. There's a second truth that we learn in this passage of Scripture. We not only see the reality of burdens, all of us are going to face them, and our perspective needs to be, I want to draw closer to God during these times of burdens. But second of all, we see this, there is the response to life's burdens. Life's burdens are real. There's a reality to them. But notice, second of all, we see the response. Here in this passage of Scripture, we read this, it says, cast your burden upon, or cast thy burden upon the Lord. That word cast, when we see it, there could be multiple things that come to our mind when we think about it. We have the word cast, meaning when something is broken or injured, like a bone, you take it to the doctor, and what do? They set it, and then they put the cast over it, right? To hold it. That's not what this word means. Now, the word cast here isn't referring to, like a group of people who are involved in a play or a drama, the cast of characters. That's not what it's referring to either. Most of us, when we look at this word cast, we get an idea of what it means, but the word cast simply means this. It means to cast down or to cast out. It's to put far away from us. But we sometimes think of burdens in this sense. When he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, we sometimes treat it like we would some fine china or something nice in our house where we say, God, I have this burden, and so God, I'm going to cast it on you. I'm just going to kind of slide it over there on you. I came to realize that's not what this word cast means. Though it does have that idea of removing, putting it away, the word cast here really has much more force. It literally means this. It means to hurl or to flee with all your strength. The picture that comes to mind, and I was thinking about this in the Scripture that comes to mind, and the same word is used in the original language, Psalm 37, or the original root word is there, Genesis 37, verse 24. We're in the middle of a man's life. His name is Joseph. Joseph is a young man at this point in time, and his brothers aren't real fond of him. And so he comes, and he's looking to see where his brothers are. And as they see him coming in a distance, the brothers start thinking, what? We need to kill this kid. Let's just get rid of him. He's been a thorn in our side for too long. Let's eliminate him. But as Joseph gets closer, they decide, no, let's not do that yet. Let's just throw him into a pit. We'll talk about this a little bit more. As a little kid, I remember flannel graphs. Some of you remember flannel graphs, right? I remember going to Sunday school, junior church, and the picture was, and they didn't necessarily do this, but this is how I pictured it in my mind, the brothers taking some ropes and kind of lowering Joseph down into the pit, making sure that he's very comfortable when he hits the bottom. That's not the use of the word there. When it says that they threw him into the pit, they literally picked him up, and they threw him down without regard for whether he broke bones, had damage to his skin, he was bleeding, they didn't care at this point. That's the same idea that's given to us here with our burdens. What should we do with them? There should be a lot of force, there should be a lot of effort and strength that's put into it. Why? Because sometimes those burdens are heavy. And we need to be willing to, with all of our strength, cast those burdens upon the Lord. And then my mind went to another passage of Scripture that I remember reading in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. We're introduced to a man by the name of Jehu. I once heard a man preach a message on Jehu the Yehu because he was known for driving his chariot furiously. That's how he was identified. If he was living today, Jehu would have had the souped-up car with the loud mufflers and squealing tires. That would have been Jehu. And here comes Jehu, and they see him driving his chariot furiously. He pulls up to the wall. And there at the top of the wall is a queen who is not acceptable to God. In fact, God isn't pleased with this queen because of the wickedness that was brought in there. And Jehu looks up, and beside this queen, there are two eunuchs that are up there, servants of the queen, if you will. And Jehu looks up, and he yells up, and he says, hey, throw her down. If you've ever heard the old skit of the Southern pastor, flying her down, okay? I'll have to tell you about that one later. Anyway, he says, throw her down. And you know what these eunuchs do? They don't excuse me, miss, we have to pick you up and just kind of drop you and lower you down the side. You know, I think these guys are like, hallelujah, it's finally the opportunity to do with this lady what we wanted to do. And they pick her up and they throw her down. Do you get the picture of what you and I are to be doing with the burdens that we face in life? We're not just to be polite with these burdens in life as we cast them on to the Lord. We are to, with great force, we are to with great strength, we are to cast them on the Lord. We are to give them completely over to Him. Get the image here of casting. It's a forceful throwing. But notice where we're supposed to throw it. I'm not just supposed to throw these burdens on my wife, because we might be carrying the same burden. I'm not just supposed to cast these burdens on other people into church. The psalmist here is very specific. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. To throw this over on God and saying, God, you've got this. I'm going to give it completely over to you. You know, there's another passage of Scripture where we are admonished to do the same thing. It's given to us by a man in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Where in that passage of Scripture, Peter says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, can I get you to think with me a little bit as we consider this? What was Peter's occupation? Peter was a fisherman. We think of fishermen now, you know, we think of people who if I'm going to go fishing, my dad and I, we just went fishing on the first day of trout season in Pennsylvania a little while ago, and you know, I had this little fishing pole with me, I had a couple of things with me with some night crawlers in it and some salmon eggs, I had a couple extra hooks, sinkers, you know, those kind of things, and for me, fishing is kind of relaxing, you know, you just have this one pole, you just kind of, you know, you're sitting out there, wait for the fish to bite, you pull it in, you know, and that's fishing. That's not the way Peter fished. It would have been much different. We were in Alaska several years ago for a missions trip, and we had the opportunity to see these boats that would go out, and they had these huge nets, and they had these machines on the boats that would take those nets and would lower them over the side, and then when they would bring them back in, they would use these machines to pick them up, and the fish would come into the boat, and they were heavy. It was hard work. So here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, when Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, Peter would have understood, as he used that word, the great strength, the great force that would have taken to get that net over the side of the boat and to fling it out in the water. But Peter also knew something else. Peter also knew if, as you were casting that net over the side, if you weren't careful, you could be taken over with that net. And it could cost you your life. You know what I see happening in the lives of a lot of believers? And I will tell you, honestly, I struggle with this at different times as well. As we have burdens that come into our lives. And we'll try to cast them on God. But as we're casting them on God, they begin to consume our mind, our lives so much, our attention so much, that we don't exercise great care. And what ends up happening is we're trying to cast them on God. Unfortunately, they take us over and we end up drowning in those burdens, even as we're trying to cast them on the Lord, because we're not exercising care and giving it completely over to God. You see, those cares, it's almost like they have these barbs that as we cast them on God, they grab a hold of us, and they want to drown us in the burdens and the cares of life. Here in this passage of Scripture, the psalmist, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the message of Scripture is this, that we need to cast them on God. It's going to take some great force. It's going to take some strength. It's going to even mean that we may have to do that over and over and over again. But I tell you this, when burdens come in life, please exercise great care, because if you don't, burdens can take us under and can seem to drown us with the difficulties of life. Years ago, I had the opportunity, privilege, I guess you could call it, to begin to take courses on becoming a lifeguard instructor. I'm a certified lifeguard, have the opportunity to train lifeguards at the Christian camp where we serve. And one of the things that they teach you if you're a lifeguard is they tell you this. They tell you that things don't always go as planned. You know, they have these little prescribed actions and activities that you should do, but if you're drowning out there in the water and you are wanting someone to save you, I come up and I'm saying, hey, I'm a lifeguard, I'm here to help. Your initial reaction is not just, oh, okay, you're here to help, save me, okay? What are they doing? They're wanting to latch on to something that's going to help them, right? And so that drowning victim, they begin to want to grab you by your head and your arms, and they begin to maybe even sometimes take you down with them. And so as you're coming up to them, you're trying to keep distance with some sort of a flotation device that you can give to them. If they reach over that and they begin to grab you and take you under, they teach you techniques for how you can get away and push them away. And you know what burdens are like? Burdens are a lot like that, because burdens can be unpredictable. Where we think that we've got control of them, we've cast them over on God, but before you know it, they grab hold of us again. And they begin to take us down. And maybe tonight there are some folks who tonight you're carrying a burden. I don't know what that burden is. Maybe nobody else knows what that burden is tonight. Maybe just a few people. Can I encourage you this? God's response that he tells you and me to do is this: cast it over on God. Give that over to him. But be careful that you don't meditate on that burden so much, you don't think about it so much, that it begins to consume you. Keep your attention on the God where you're casting that burden. And so the psalmist, as we come into this passage of Scripture, and he goes through and he shares his heart of some of the burdens and difficulties that he's facing, he says, I get it, burdens are a part of life. But I also know this, there is a right response to burdens. What is that response? I've learned that the response that we need to have in relationship to burdens in God is this: I need to cast them on the Lord. I need to give them over to him. And that brings us to the third and final truth we'll look at tonight. Notice he says at the end of this verse in Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. I want us to notice thirdly and finally tonight the relief for life's burdens. Here he says, he will sustain. Now the word sustain means to nourish. It means to keep in a healthy condition. It's to maintain. I enjoy working on cars, and one of the things that I will try and do with our vehicles is I try to maintain them. You want to make sure that it's got the oil changed in it. You want to make sure that the belts are good and all of those things. You try to maintain your home so that all of a sudden it doesn't get in great disarray and then you have to destroy it and rebuild. We recognize the importance to maintain things. Here in this passage of Scripture when he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. God is giving us a promise, and David is saying, this is what I've learned. I've learned that even in the midst of life's greatest burdens, when I cast them on God with care and when I try to give them over to God without them snagging me and taking me under and beginning to consume my life, I've realized this: no matter how great the burden or how difficult it is, God has promised to nourish, to keep me in a healthy condition. David's already openly admitted the burdens that he's facing in life. He says the proper action with that is that I need to cast that on the Lord and God will sustain me. Do you remember when we went back to verses 1 and 2 in this psalm? What is David doing? David is crying out to God. Why? Because he feels overwhelmed. But by the time we get to the end of Psalm 55, we see David reminding him of this great truth. God alone can handle this burden. And so I must cast it on God and trust that he is able to provide me with the nourishment, the strength to maintain me through these difficult times. You see, the encouragement here in Scripture is not the promise that the difficulty and burden are going to go away, but it's a promise that God will enable us, strengthen us, and give us the ability to see him sustaining us through those trials. In Psalm 20 and verse 7, the psalmist would put it this way: some trust in chariots and some in horses. What's that? They're depending on their own strength, their own might. We can overtake them on our own. But the psalmist says this: many battles, we just need to forget about the number of chariots and horses that we have. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 84, verse 11, the psalmist says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord God, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist again writes, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my what? My help, that which will sustain, strengthen, and maintain me. My help cometh from the Lord, the one that made heaven and earth. It's as though he's standing in awe of this great God as he reflects on him. He goes on and says this, "He, God, will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." God hasn't fallen asleep and forgotten about the burdens that we carry in life, that you're carrying in life. The psalmist says, I can cast them and I can entrust them to God. Psalm 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." God issues this promise, "I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Listen, the admonition of Scripture when we seem overwhelmed with burdens is this: there is relief from the burdens of life. Again, don't misunderstand that. It's not necessarily a removal of the burden and that we are not going to face burdens anymore in our life. The reality is this: God promises a relief to those who trust in him. Someone here tonight, you might be seeking some sort of relief from the burden of sin that you have in your life. You have never trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. And so the burden that you're carrying right now is, if I were to take my last and final breath and I were to slip into eternity, I'm not sure if I would spend eternity with God or if I'd be separated from God for all eternity. I just don't know what will happen. Do you realize that God has an answer for that burden? The answer to that burden is given to us in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, as he promises that he will give to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hey, has there ever been a time where you've received the ultimate, the only relief from sin and the judgment and penalty of sin, and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? There can be relief from that tonight, and we would love to be able to show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. The promise that I have in Scripture is given to me in Romans chapter 5, as we find that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I have been relieved from having to face the punishment of my sin because Jesus has paid the price for me. And so have you ever cast your burden of sin on God? God is able to sustain you. He's able to give you the help that you need. In the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, he offers you the gift of eternal life through Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to show you how you can do that tonight. We'll take you to the Scriptures and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. Many sitting in this room tonight, you would be able to give a testimony of salvation. The time when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and yet maybe through the last several days, weeks, months, maybe even years, there's been a burden that you are carrying in your life. Here in this passage of Scripture, God gives to us some instruction for what we ought to be doing with those burdens. We need to cast them on the Lord. That means we need to be willing to confess our inability to deal with those burdens on our own. This requires a humbleness before God and maybe even a humbleness before others to admit the reality of this burden in our lives. I've been carrying this bitterness with me. I've been carrying this unforgiveness with me. I've been carrying this resentment in my heart towards so-and-so for so many years, and I'm tired of the burden. You know what God says? God says, take that burden, cast it on the Lord, and God can sustain. He can nourish you. God is able to maintain the spiritual health and vibrancy that he wants us to have, that those kind of things are sapping from our lives. And so we need to be willing to be kind, be forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Maybe some tonight you're dealing with some sort of a financial burden. There's a struggle that is there and waiting on God, and I can tell you through our life and ministry, there have been many times where we've had to try and claim the promise of this verse. We haven't done it perfectly every time, I promise you that. But there have been times where we've had to look at God and we've had to say, God, we just can't carry this anymore on our own. We're giving it to you, and we've had to do that repeated times. And I can tell you, like David, that what we have been able to find is that God is able to somehow, not in our ability and strength, but through him, he is able to nourish, sustain, strengthen, and even use that as an opportunity to grow and fortify our strength in Him. Because when you step back and you see how God provides and how he meets the needs, boy, it's amazing to step back and to be able to see this is a God thing. There's no other explanation, but God did this. We will talk about things like that with physical matters where people, you know, they're diagnosed with cancer or some other sort of disease. They go to the doctor, and the next time everything's as clear, oh, God did that. Or are we willing to give God the glory for things like that in financial issues? What about relationship issues where God does the work in the heart of another person and they ask us forgiveness, or we need to ask them? Listen, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, and God is able to take that burden that is wanting to drown us under those burdens, and God is able to give us spiritual nourishment and strength. Remember, those burdens, they are something that are permitted, allowed by God to exist in our lives, and they are either going to be used as something that's going to draw us away from God, or they can fulfill their designed purpose by God to draw us closer to Him and to depend on Him more. And so I ask us to consider tonight from Psalm 55 and verse 22, what are we doing with the burdens of life? There's no denying the burdens of life. They're a reality. I think all of us are willing to admit that. And though we may not want to openly admit at different times that we're struggling with burdens, they are a reality. The response when burdens come into our life is we need to carefully, yet forcefully, give those burdens over to God. We can find great freedom, even in the midst of carrying burdens, when we cast those cares on God. Why? Because God gives us this promise that God will sustain us. God will strengthen, nourish, give us that spiritual health to continue to trust in God, even through the midst of some of the biggest burdens that we'll ever face in life. I enjoy at different times reading or listening to some autobiographies or biographies of great saints of the past. And you know, as you listen to those things, and even as you have opportunity, as you try to tap into people's stories of life that they're going through now, you can find some people who went through some great heartaches. They went through some great difficulties, and we would look at them and we would say, there is no way I'd be able to make it through that, a similar situation in the way that they've handled that. And yet, you know, what you learn over and over and over again is it's not the individual who enables themselves to be able to carry that burden and get through it. It is the God that they serve who sustains them and gives them strength to be able to take the reality of burdens. And when they respond properly by casting it over on God, God fulfills His part and He strengthens them in a way that ultimately brings glory to Him. So what will you do with the burdens of life? Will we take God's instructions and use them, cast them on the Lord, and He promises to sustain you?